The American walks every day, normal, going to work. He's walking downtown in Manhattan, and all of a sudden, two planes hit the Twin Tower, and they have no clue why would somebody do such a thing.
Deliberate and deadly attacks, which were carried out yesterday against our country, were more than acts of terror. They were acts of war.
Radical Islam has declared the war. Radical Islam is at war now with the West.
When I saw the second airplane hit, I knew jihad has come to an end.
Wake up, America. It's time to rise and protect our American way of life. You could be offended. In fact, you will be offended by the content of the show. You're listening to you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation. Under God. Indivisible. With liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that great patriot, Big Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Vito. Good to be here as always. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm doing well. I had a nice little restful weekend, so it was nice. I feel a little bit re-energized and, okay. How about you?
Well, I had a good weekend, too. Played golf. Ooh. A lot. And a lot. Getting out of the slump slowly, but always
great.
A challenge.
Isn't it? Oh, my God. That is
good advice, not to hit the ball hard, just hit it straight. And just have boring golf. Great, great advice.
Oh, just hit the crap out of it. Just hit the crap out of it. Just swing out of your shoes, man.
And close your eyes. Oh, that used to be the way.
Now that we're older and wiser.
Oh, my back. Oh, my shoulder.
Oh, my back.
Oh, the ball went in the wood.
Oh, golf is just a fun game. Hey, 14 days, 6 hours, 56 minutes, and 24 seconds until Election Day.
Will America have opened in many places across the country, which is crazy, but it is true.
I guess being a traditionalist in some ways, but you see the effects of the left-wing mentality. You see the effects of the progressive movement, and that's where this all started, under the progressive movement, and it was to appeal and to appease to Americans. We have to make it easier for people to vote. Asking for a valid ID, well, you know what, that's racist, and all this nonsense. And it used to be that on the first Tuesday following the first Monday in November was Election Day. And everybody knew that. And somehow now we have to make it easier for people for the ability to vote. I mean, God forbid you stand in line one time every 4 years to vote for your candidate of choice. And so now we have 2 weeks of early voting. Well, we have, 12 days of early voting, 10 days, 7 days. The state of Pennsylvania, the Democrat Uniparty in Pennsylvania wants to make it so much easier that they'll accept votes 3 days after Election Day, which is absolutely garbage. And all the while, the Democrat Uniparty all states that they want a free and fair election. You know, they get so tied to meaningless cliches and sound bites. If you don't vote by the time your poll closes, which is usually 7 p.m., your vote is invalid unless you're standing in line at 7 o'clock, not 7:04, not 7, at 7 o'clock, if you're in line to vote, and you could be the 50th person waiting to enter the door, that's where the line ends. If you don't have your absentee ballot into your supervisor of elections by 7 p.m., the time the place closes, the voting, the polls close, okay? And I know in the state of Florida, all 67 counties have the same rule and regulation. Now, I don't know how difficult it is, but one time every 4 years, and you know, you can vote absentee. God forbid something comes up, or you're going on vacation. You know, there are means, but I mean, all this early voting is nonsense. But that's what the liberals, that's what the left wing, that's what the anti-constitutionalists want. They want to make sure that they can have an effect on an election. You know, and if you can't take the responsibility to vote on Election Day, the first Tuesday following the first Monday, then we don't need your vote. Stop complaining. Okay, I'll stop.
No, you're absolutely right. It used to be you vote on voting day, and that's it. And then the results are being tabulated and reported that evening, maybe late, but that evening. But now there's so much time, and the reason there's so much time is the Democrats have more time to cheat.
Yes, yes. End of story. Yes, there is cheating. And how is it that the state of Texas already has purged over 1.1 million illegal voters? 1.1 million. Oh, well, we can't do that because, you know, that could be racist. No, it's not racist. If you're not a U.S. citizen, you should not be able to vote in any election. End of story.
Right, and how the federal government got in the middle of that is a mystery, because that is the state's responsibility to purge and clean out their voter rolls. In fact, the supervisor of elections in every county across the country, they have an obligation to do exactly that, is to purge and clean the voter rolls for a free and fair election. But getting them to do that is often impossible, and that goes for Republican and Democrat supervisor of elections.
Correct. Thank you for clarifying that, you know. But as Bigfoot in the chat room, as a certain Democrat Mayor Daley once allegedly said, vote early and vote often. And that's the Democrat Party way.
Oh, that is so true. Yeah, when I lived in Chicago, after work, after the markets closed, I would leave. I'd get out of work probably about 3:30 or 4, and I'd walk home usually during the summer, and then I would go to the meetings at City Hall that they have for the aldermen. And I tell you, it was a circus.
Really?
It was entertaining for me to go there and just sit and watch the chaos of these aldermen trying to conduct government business, and it just gave me a chance to unwind after work. So it was...
You unwound.
They were so corrupt. They were so flamboyant. They were so dirty. And this is Chicago politics, and it lives up to all the hype. I saw it firsthand, and sadly, things are even worse today. They didn't get better. They got worse.
Yeah, yep, and you know they're in control, and they have run down, you know, city after city, whether it's Chicago or New York or
Minneapolis, Minnesota, Michigan. We have eyes on the ground in Minneapolis. Maybe Hopefully he will call in and give us a little report as we go into the last lap of the election, the final days.
The final days is right. Well, really quick, 2024 Shriners Open was in Las Vegas for the PGA Tour. JT Poston notched his third PGA Tour victory, and he hasn't won since 2022. He wins by one shot over American Doug Gim. JT Poston shot 64, 65, 66, and a final round, 4 under 67, to secure his victory. And Poston and the field battled the weather all weekend in Las Vegas, including Thursday. They had 25 to 35 mile an hour winds, and they wouldn't let fans in, only the families of the players, because of it was deemed to be hazardous. It moved JT Poston inside the top 50 to the 41st in the FedEx points and 40th in the world ranking. So now JT Poston has secured entry into the 2025 designated event. So congratulations to JT Poston. He's been knocking on the door, and finally he opened it and walked right in and secured a victory. Next week, the PGA Tour is in Japan for the Zozo Championship. It will be a good field, highlighted by world number two Xander Schauffele leading the field, and Japan's own Hideki Matsuyama. So Holger took Xander Schauffele, and I took Hideki Matsuyama. So we'll have to see how that works out. The LPGA was in Korea. The BMW Ladies Championship was in South Korea. Obviously, they don't have golf in North Korea. At the Seon Valley Country Club, Australian Hannah Green held on to win by one shot over French Celine Boutier. Green notched her sixth victory on the LPGA Tour. Congratulations. Next week, the LPGA are in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, for the Maybank Championship. Defending champion is Celine Boutier. Uh-oh, Celine finished second this past week. Could she repeat and win next week? I don't know, but I took her as... I don't know who Holger took. Oh, Holger took Rue, R-Y-U, the Korean lady. So college football, number one Texas got beat by the Georgia Bulldogs. So another number one team goes down. They got owned. And Alabama got beat once again by their SEC rivals, Tennessee. So it's the first year of the post-Saban dynasty, and it appears to be over. I know it's early yet, but it's not a good thing. Alabama's got two losses and against two pretty good teams. So don't think Bama is going to be a threat this year. They might make the top 12 to get into the playoffs, but I'm telling you, it's not looking too good for them.
No, Alabama, big disappointment, actually. I think some heads are going to roll.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
You've got Oregon number one, Georgia number two, and so Oregon became the fourth team this season to hold the number one ranking in the AP College Football Poll, moving into the top spot Sunday for the first time in 12 years after Texas lost at home to Georgia. Vandy's in at 25. Number three, Penn State. Number four, Ohio State, were idle Saturday and held their spots. And then
Didn't Ohio State lose to Oregon last week? I thought.
I believe they were idle Saturday. I could be wrong. And possibly.
Okay.
And then Texas dropped to number five.
Okay.
College football is great, I tell you.
Yeah.
It's, but some of the money is getting into college football with the portal, and there's a couple of changes that really I'm not real happy about. But it's still better than the NFL, so.
Yeah, I do like it. I do prefer college football. Didn't get the chance to watch a lot of it this weekend, but, yeah, I like Penn State, so we'll see how they hold on. But President Trump was at the Alphonse Smith dinner last week, and he was hilarious. And the cowardly Kamala Harris was not at the dinner, because obviously it would have been self-deprecation and she would have had to think on her feet, and she of course, her handlers, Kamala Harris's handlers, don't want her in that type of setting because she's already a disaster on her own. She couldn't handle something like the Alphonse Smith dinner. But Trump was hilarious, and he looked at – and Chuck Schumer was sitting down, sitting next to the podium, which would have been to Trump's left. And Trump had a good job. He had a good couple of digs at Chuck. And one of them was, you know, with this woke movement and the woke crowd and all this the wokeness that's going on, he looks at it and goes, hey, Chuck, if Kamala loses, you still have a chance to become the first woman president. I thought that was hysterical. So, you know, but we know that Kamala is anti-Catholic and she's anti-Christian. So she wouldn't dare take a chance to be at a comedy and an event that where she would have to kind of be self-deprecating and has to think on her feet. So.
Well, first time in decades, like you said, this is she upset a lot of people. She offended the Catholics primarily because they set this dinner up so the two opposing parties can be in a neutral territory and poke fun at themselves and each other under the watchful eyes of the Catholic hierarchy in the Catholic Church, which is fantastic. And it set the stage for, gosh, a lot of historical meetings and the two sides getting together. But like you said, Kamala Harris refused to go and is a black stain on her record. And that may be one of the things among many of why she's going to lose this election.
Well, you know, it should be. And first of all, she's a very weak individual. She does not display confidence. She's a liar. And she embellishes on things. You know, they talked about Trump being a liar and fabricating, but, you know, they can't stand Trump. And Trump's been right probably 95% of the time. Kamala Harris has been wrong in everything. I mean, you could look right at, just go with the borders are. She was tasked with that job since March of 2021, and she's been an utter failure. She does not have any original thought. She, now we understand her book was plagiarized. She plagiarizes speeches from the Communist Party of America. And you could YouTube some of the speeches yourself. The slogans and the cliches that Communist Kamala comes up with are right out of the Communist Party for America, in America. And the looking forward and not going back and you know, her current, you know, cliches that she talks about. The president of the Communist Party of America had opined this several months ago, I think it's 6 or 7 or 8 months ago, and Kamala uses those same antidotes and the same cliches and slogans in her campaign. So there's nothing original about Kamala Harris. And the choice that she made for vice president, Tim Walz, is awful.
Oh, horrible!
It is.
Well, she does have an interesting relationship with the truth and transparency that rivals the dictator Kim Jong Il. That's Kim Jong Un's father. Since we were talking about North Korea earlier, now Kim Jong and golf. There's a tie-in to everything with golf. Kim Jong-il, the father of Kim Jong-un, his father and predecessor, boasted he landed 11 holes in one during his very first round of golf in 1994. The North Koreans have been ridiculed, lambasted, and embarrassed on the international stage after such a wildly untruthful claim of made-up lies as truth that rivals Kamala Harris So the only person who has outdone her in lies and lack of transparency is the tyrant Kim Jong-il, the father of tyrant Kim Jong-un of North Korea. So that is one for the history books for Kamala Harris. May she forever go away.
Well, you know what? She does have something in common with Kim Jong-il, and that is she's a wannabe dictator, but Kim Jong-il was a dictator. So I'm sure she looks up to Kim Jong-il. 11 holes in the first round. There's only four par threes. Yeah. So he drove the ball. Go ahead.
It is funny. Well, anybody who disagreed with him or ridiculed him in North Korea disappeared. Now, that is the type of power that Kamala Harris wants desperately for America. And if she's elected, it may not be as much as Kim Jong-il, unlimited power, but she's going to change the court, pack the court. She's going to institute taxing unrealized gains, which is going to destroy the stock market and our economy. There's so many bad things that's going to happen around the bend. You do not want that woman anywhere near power.
You know, something else. I think it's incumbent upon us to briefly touch on that, okay? Nobody really expands on the taxing of unrealized gain. And many people in America, and if you're above 50 years old and you have a stock portfolio, you've built a stock portfolio, and you bought ABC stock, and I'm just using not ABC News, but a stock, let's say ABC at $10 a share, in January of 2025, and at the end of the year, on December 31st, that stock is worth $20 a share. A tax on unrealized gain means you have to pay taxes, and you keep that stock in your portfolio, and it's risen $10 a share. You now have to pay taxes as a capital gain on that $10 a share. You've not sold it. So now you're dipping into your savings in order to pay for the gain on that stock. And what happens if that stock goes down in 2026 and it goes down to $14 a share? You've lost 60%20% of the value of that stock. It went from $20 a share to $16 a share. That's $4 a share loss. But you've already paid taxes the year, for the prior year's gain. So the unrealized gain, am I correct in that? Is that you're going to pay taxes because that stock went from $10 a share to now it's $20 a share at year end. And when you claim your taxes, you're going to have to pay taxes on that unrealized gain.
And then somehow that hasn't been told is how the government is going to reimburse you for your loss if you still carry the stock to make up for your unrealized gains of the previous year. And even if you don't own individual stock, most everybody has a mutual fund, whether they're in their IRA, whatever that might be. Now, that's going to be a paperwork nightmare for these companies that manage money and have these IRAs, and they have all these money funds. They're going to have to – their fees are going to skyrocket because it's going to cost them so much more extra money, time, and manpower to have all these losses and gains and then send them to the government with the proper form and the proper document and have all your I's dotted, T's crossed. And if they don't do that properly, they're going to get fined by the government. This is, you may as well just throw sand in the gears of our economy because it's going to be so hard to manage. But she's making this insane plan, this policy, this policy balloon, without even being able to tell how it's going to be implemented. And then she won't go out in the public and explain it for everybody to know. She just, nobody asks.
Correct.
And she'll just not answer like she did in that CBS interview with Bret Baier.
Fox News interview with Bret Baier.
Yeah.
It's an irrational tax, but it's also a Marxist tax plan. It's the government control. And she'll be taking more and more away from the American consumer. She'll be taking more and more away from the middle class. And, you know, and since Kamala Harris and Tim Walz want to make it a point to start, you know, they say that they're going to help the middle class. It's hilarious because, you know, it's the doublespeak by Kamala Harris and Tim Walz is quite sickening. You know, if you have seniors out there who are relying upon dividends to help them get through their income, and they may not be able to work, but they may have developed a portfolio where they receive dividends as income. Not only are they going to pay taxes on the income from the dividends, but they're going to pay taxes on unrealized gain. And that simply just takes more and more out of the consumer's pockets. And that's what big government does. That's what Marxists do. That's what anti-capitalist, anti-free enterprise individuals like Kamala Harris and Tim Walz do. They want government bigger. They want government with more control. They don't want a free enterprise or a capitalistic society. You know, they want to talk about fairness and all that other garbage, that all those cliches that mean nothing, but they mean something to the Marxist, and it means control. And it's why Kamala Harris and Tim Walz continue to call America a democracy, because a democracy always degenerates into a dictatorship. And while we make fun of, and while we are a little bit sarcastic about Kim Jong-il and Kim Jong-un, they were dictators. They are dictators. And they are Marxists. And it's exactly what Kamala Harris' belief is. It's in Marxism. Her speeches are identical to the Communist Party of America president speeches. But the U.S. media is so compromised. They are bought and paid for by the Democrat National Committee. They are bought and paid for by the left wing and the globalists, that they fail to see, and they fail to get outside the box of their partisanship and their bias. They so despise Donald Trump. And, you know, with a Harris-Walz administration, they will be the first entity to be controlled by the federal government. And it'll be interesting to see how many more news readers step outside the box and are like that, like the Fox News guy who sits in the propaganda Princess Jean-Pierre White House press briefings and pushes, you know, propaganda princess and her misinformation and her lies. You know, how many more will there be? Will there be one more? Will there be 10 more when the federal government starts controlling the media, irrespective of the fact that the Bill of Rights says that government cannot control the media? And that's the sad part of this whole thing. But, you know, what's also sad is the United Kingdom, the UK, that would be England, Scotland, Wales, Ireland. Sky News reports that the United Kingdom Labour Party, which just won control in England, the Labour Party is sending nearly 100 current and former staffers to the United States to help the Kamala Harris campaign. Now, if you want to get really left, if you want to go extreme and left of center, you tap the Labour Party. Now we have the United Kingdom is tampering with U.S. elections. The United Kingdom is tampering with the 2024 elections. You know why? Because the EU has been leading the way in funding the invasion of illegal aliens into the United States. And so now the radical United Kingdom Labour Party is sending 100 current and former staffers to the United States to help the Kamala Harris campaign. And where is the media outrage over this, huh? Where is the media talking about outside influence? They were silent about the European Union helping to fund the alien invasion in Central and South America. The same media has been silent about the United Nations funding, along with the European Union, the illegal alien invasion into the United States. The same media has been silent about the EU, George Soros, Red Cross, the Norwegian Refugee Council, all funding the illegal alien invasion into the United States. And now the UK Labour Party sees it fit to come in and help the flow of Kamala Harris. Well, it's only 100 people, Vito. Oh, 100 people? 100 people from the extreme Labour Party in the United Kingdom, where you have illegal migration rampant, where the United Kingdom is losing their identity, is losing their culture, where London has lost its culture to the Islamic movement. And they're going to come in, the radicals of the European Union, the radicals of the United Kingdom Labour Party are going to come in and help the extreme Kamala Harris because her campaign is fledgling. What are they going to do? Are they going to fill out more and more ballots in key swing states of Nevada or in Wisconsin or in Detroit again? I mean, do the American people understand of the Harris-Biden policies and how it's impacted the United States, including the U.S. borders? At the Darien Gap in Central and South America, the Darien Gap has been a stopover for illegal aliens who have been transported and or have come through South America, and the European Union and the Biden-Harris administration, USAID. USAID is a department within our federal government that has a $50 billion-plus budget, and it's run by the Marxist Samantha Power, one of Obama's alumni. And they have been financing the illegal alien invasion into America. They have donated to the Norwegian Refugee Council, who is active in the Darien Gap in supporting illegal aliens. The United Nations, the UNRWA. And now you've got the UK tampering with the 2024 elections. So for 3 years now, we've had the United Kingdom, we've had the EU, we have the Norwegian Refugee Council all inserting itself in trying to dismantle our constitutional republic. And, you know, the border issue is real. Here's a quick snippet from 2 years ago, or a year ago, when Senator Ted Cruz appeared on Bill Maher. And during the talk show, they were talking about border security. And, of course, the fashionable thing is to blame Republicans for the border security. Well, you've got Bill Maher asking the question to Senator Cruz, and it was in hopes of a gotcha question. But Cruz quickly answered the question, turned it right around to the point where Bill Maher says, ooh, maybe I should have asked that question. You see, and although Bill Maher is of the left-wing persuasion, he understands when he was got. And some of these gotcha questions that the left tries to impose, and they impose their radical views when they're called out on, at least Bill Maher has got the intestinal fortitude to admit that he was wrong. Unlike the ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, all silent about the UK Labour Party bringing in over 100 people to help the Kamala Harris campaign. ABC, NBC, CBS, all silent when it comes to the border. So here's
you
Bill
can
Maher.
Tell he regrets asking this question.
Do Republicans have a good answer to address the border crisis other than busing migrants to liberal cities?
We had an agreement with Mexico that was called the Remain in Mexico Agreement, which says that if someone crossed into Mexico illegally from typically Central or South America, they would remain in Mexico while their asylum case was proceeding in the U.S., and the numbers plummeted. We had the lowest rate, as I said, in 45 years, and then Biden came in and rip that international agreement to shreds, and that's what produced now 8.4 million illegal aliens since Biden's been president.
Boy, I walked right into that one.
Boy, I walked right into that one. I mean, Cruz was absolutely just spot on. The Remain in Mexico agreement was scrapped by Biden and Harris. That was one of the 94 policies that they scrapped that has caused the influx of illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens into the United States of America. And kudos to Senator Cruz for not backing down and vacillating, but giving a direct answer. And Bill Maher didn't know how to handle it. I mean, 8.4 million at the time, Al. The number's way over 25 million right now.
With the caravan supposedly coming along the way. But under federal election law, foreigners are barred from participation in decision-making and providing substantial assistance, both of which mostly cover involvement in financial transactions. We're going back to these 100 Labor Party people coming over. Well, these Labor Party politicians are traveling in a personal capacity, according to The Hill. A source familiar told The Hill they will have to cover their own travel. Now get this, while their accommodations will be provided by Democrat campaign volunteers, The Hill has learned, that is in-kind gift. The British Embassy in Washington, D.C. declined to comment and directed inquiries to the Labor Party press office. The Labor Party did not respond to The Hill's request for comment. And the Harris campaign declined to comment also. Nigel Farage, a member of the UK Parliament who helped lead the Brexit campaign, made the same claim. He said the move is particularly stupid if Trump wins. And he starts asking, who is paying for all of this?
Right.
And he is 100% right. This is cheating, and like you said, this is influence from a foreign power and foreign politicians on our federal election.
So the Labor Party.
We had the Revolutionary War to get away from these bastards, and now they're coming over to help Kamala Harris. Boy, how things change in 243 years.
Yes, it has. It's changed quite rapidly, too. I mean, and of course, no one, all of a sudden, everybody has amnesia of how these people are going to be compensated. The Labor Party has been criticized for sending almost 100 members of current and former staff to the U.S. in the next few weeks to help Harris campaign in the U.S. election. Labor is searching for 10 more people to send to the battleground state of North Carolina who will have their housing sorted by the party. In a post on X, Labor's head of operations said, I have nearly 100 Labor staff, current and former, going to the U.S. in the next few weeks, heading to North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. Now, at least what we've learned from President Trump in the last couple of days is that there's been record turnout in North Carolina for early voting. And let's hope that does favor him. But what are these people going to do? Are they going to start ballot harvesting? Is that what they're designed to do? And they're going specifically to North Carolina? You know, if I'm Mark Robinson, who's running for governor of that state, I'm going to expose this sordidness. I'm going to expose this foreign influence operation that the extreme and radical Labor Party is engaged in. And who in the Democrat Party called for this? Was this Barack Hussein's Satoru Obama? Because let's not forget that it was Barack Hussein Satoru Obama who utilized MI6 to create and help create the phony Steele dossier. And that's how the president at the time, Obama, and the vice president at the time, Joe Biden, would distance himself from any type of operation. He used MI6. And the same is the same influence that's used in the UK when they use the CIA, and MI6 kind of steps away and washes their hands from this. So now the extreme Labour Party, the radical leftists, are now engaged in tampering with the U.S. elections, and they're actually targeting North Carolina and Pennsylvania. So obviously, Kamala Harris knows that she's in trouble in Pennsylvania. And she had to know it, especially this weekend when President Trump went to the Pittsburgh Steelers game and the entire stadium erupted in chants of USA, and NBC Sports, which is owned by the Democrat National Committee, didn't even show it. They said, oh, President Trump's in the house, and that was it. In the meantime, they glossed over the fact that the entire stadium was chanting USA, USA. You know, so you can't tell us that the U.S. media like NBC or ABC or CNN or MSNBC or CBS aren't bought and paid for by the Democrat National Committee, not the Democratic National Committee, because there's nothing democratic about the Democrat Party. They are extreme. And now we know how extreme they are because they've now enlisted the help of the extreme Labour Party in the United Kingdom. Why? Because the Labour Party kicked the Conservative Party's ass in this last election. It did stun the world, especially after the EU seats went Conservative. So I guess the left wing in America wants to employ the same tactic because they know that Kamala Harris is a very poor candidate. She's uninspiring, and she is losing those key battleground states, including Pennsylvania.
Well, one thing that I do know that's universal is that politicians do not pay for anything out of their own pocket.
Exactly.
And I don't care. Yeah, I don't care from UK or here. That's the one constant. That's the common denominator in this whole story, is that politicians pay for nothing out of their own pocket. And now you got 100 of them coming over. I would love to see the money trail, the email trails, and the Department of Justice should be all over this, as well as the Treasury.
Well, you know what else?
But they won't because they're Democrat.
No, you're right. Go ahead. Finish that thought. You're absolutely right. They're Democrats.
Yeah, they're under Democrat control. They're not going to do anything.
Who's funding this? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to throw some names out there who's funding this. So the George Soros Open Society gave $500 million for the migrant invasion into the European Union. $500 million. And at the time, the UK was part of the European Union. There's no doubt that George Soros is playing a role in this because he despises Donald Trump, as does the World Economic Forum. You know, you've got John Kerry a month ago sitting before the World Economic Forum and bemoaning the fact of the First Amendment of the US Constitution and the fact that free speech should be controlled by the federal government. That's what he was saying. And free speech was a bad thing because it hurt their cause. It hurt their cause of disinformation and misinformation, because that's the new word that was adopted in January of 2021 by the Biden-Harris regime. And it was a way to circumvent the free speech issue in America. And so now you have George Soros, who's a cancer on America. He's a cancer on the free enterprise system. Here's a guy now who was the Biden-Harris regime fast-tracked 200 AM radio stations through the FCC. Fast-track, first time ever. And you're talking about the controlling of speech. George Soros is a globalist, and the globalists despise Donald Trump. Why? Because Donald Trump believes in America first. Donald Trump does believe in making America great, as he showed in his first term. Energy independence. We had the lowest gas prices, lower than the highest sustained gas prices. Joe Biden. Closed borders. What does George Soros and the Open Society believe? What does the World Economic Forum believe? What does the UN Agenda 2030 believe? Believe in open borders. You see, from George Soros to Barack Hussein to Barack Obama to the European Union to the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab to the United Nations, they believe in open borders. They don't believe in America's constitutional republic. And that's why this election is extremely important, because the advocate that the United Nations and the World Economic Forum has for open borders and for the dismantling of our constitutional republic will be Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, two extremists, two Marxists who don't believe in America's constitutional republic. I mean, hell, even a simple thing with Kamala Harris talking about banning guns. Oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't banning guns. It was buyback. It was the buyback of weapons. And that buyback was a mandatory buyback of weapons. Oh, here's Kamala Harris in her own words.
Assault weapons that are already in circulation. What do you do about those?
If we have to have a buyback program, and I support a mandatory buyback program.
Okay, that's not a Donald Trump statement. That wasn't altered. She believes in a mandatory buyback. This is a globalist movement. So who is funding the 100-plus Labor Party staffers to come into the United States? The European Union, which has been funding the illegal migration into the United States, the illegal migration invasion into the United States at our southern border. And I'll tell you who else. It's our own government led by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris under the USAID, USAID, that's the acronym, department. It has a $50 billion plus budget, and it's run by Samantha Power. Who's financing these? Who else is the big money donors to the Democrat National Committee? As Al said, do you think these people are going to be sitting here for free? They're not going to be sitting here for free. The Democrat Party will do anything and everything, including making a deal with the devil to unseat Donald Trump and to bury what's called the MAGA movement. Making America great, making America energy independent, lowering food prices for all Americans, irrespective of how they're identified, poor, lower middle class, upper middle class, rich, wealthy, billionaires, whatever you want to call them. Every individual would see lower grocery prices. Because what have we seen over the last 3.5 years? The highest sustained grocery prices ever. The highest sustained gas prices ever. And who are the culprits who are undermining America's sovereignty? Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, George Soros, the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, the United Nations, the UNRWA, all anti-American, anti-constitutional organizations who fund lawlessness. And now they're funding the radical Labor Party employees, 100 of them plus, to come into the United States and these next 14 days work as campaign staffers for Kamala Harris. You know, folks, it's not Donald Trump who's using and abusing the U.S. Constitution. It is Joe Biden. It is Kamala Harris. It is the Obama alumni team who continue to abuse the U.S. Constitution, including using taxpayer money to undermine our republic. And once again, the Biden and Harris have embarked on abusing the U.S. Constitution. At what point, I don't care what your party affiliation is, but if you revere the United States of America, you certainly cannot be voting for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. Two individuals who have espoused and believe in the Marxist movement, who do not believe in free enterprise. And certainly, Kamala Harris saying that she's a capitalist is an out-and-out lie. Just look at her tax plan that she has at her own website. Listen to her, what she has to say. She can't even give an interview and give a straight interview as she did with Bret Baier the other day. She can't even do an interview. She is an awful individual. She is one of the weakest candidates ever for any party. Harris can't answer a question. She's given a simple question about the economy and starts it out, well, I was in the middle class. I grew up in a middle class. That's horseshit. And then Harris is on the Bret Baier, being interviewed by Bret Baier. She disrespects the interviewer by showing up 15 minutes late. Then they demand that they cut the interview short. She doesn't answer the question. She continues to filibuster the answers. So here's a little snippet from Megyn Kelly, and it's hysterical. Because Megyn Kelly, you know, ever since she left and went on her own, she's been spot on. And she's talking about, here's Harris, is a snippet of Harris being asked a question by Bret Baier and continue to ask a question.
She stumped. It was another Lester Holt, and I've never been to Europe moment. You've been in office for 3.5 years, and Donald Trump has been running for office. Watch it again.
70% of people tell the country is on the wrong track. They say the country is on the wrong track. If it's on the wrong track, that track follows 3.5 years of you being vice president and President Biden being president. That is what they're saying, 79% of them. Why are they saying that? If you're turning the page, you've been in office for 3.5 years.
And Donald Trump has been running for office.
But you've been the person holding the office.
Come on.
Madam
you
Vice
and I
President.
Both know what I'm talking about. You and I both know what I'm talking about.
I actually
about.
Don't. What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about
and for Brett,
is that...
I mean, Brett's genuinely like, what the fuck is going on right now? What are you saying? You're in office right now. She can't answer it. All she can say is Trump bad. Orange man bad. Divisive rhetoric.
I mean, Al, to hear Megyn Kelly drop the F-bomb, it's just funny. It's like, because she used it in the proper context. Bret Baier, what the fuck are you talking about? The country's on the wrong track these past 3 years, the 3.5 years since January 20th, but Trump's been campaigning for 3 years. What the hell does that have to do
Come
with
on, Brett. Come on, Brett. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. No, Vice President Harris, I don't know what you're talking about. Please explain. That's someone who goes after every statement, you know what I mean. You know what I mean. It's like, no, I don't know what you mean. Articulate it and tell me exactly what's on your mind.
It's incredible. And to think that the U.S. media is that much in the bag for the Democrat Party, and they're no longer objective, and they're strictly partisan, and they're strictly partisan for the left wing, it really shows how bad the U.S. media is and how we do need alternate news. And that's what the problem is, because there's conservative talk news, there's alternate radio, there's alternate like Global Patriot Radio being one of the little guys out there who are bringing this to light, and the left wing doesn't like it because they don't want any other message out there but what they dictate. And they want to control the speech. And Kamala Harris is a very weak individual. She's a weak candidate. She would be one of the worst presidents, probably worse than Joe Biden. And that's not saying much right there. And, you know, to answer a question that says, well, Donald Trump's been campaigning for 3 years. Well, what does that have to do with your policies? You know, your current policies have failed the American people. You own those. You own the domestic energy policy. That's your policy. You made the conscious decision to erase anything and everything that was working that made America energy independent. You bled the Strategic Petroleum Reserve by 360 million barrels of oil in the last 3 years in order to artificially keep gas prices low. You did that. That's your conscious decision. Now, what have you done in the last 3.5 years? Well, President Trump, you know, Donald Trump has been campaigning for 3 years. Okay, how is that impacting grocery prices? The highest sustained grocery prices ever. The highest inflation in 40 years. But Trump's been, he's been campaigning for 3 years. You know, think of how absurd this is. Oh, what about the border, Madam Border Czar? You know, Border Czar Harris, you've been the Border Czar since March of 2021. And the influx of illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens pouring through America's borders has reached over 25 million people. Why have you, as Border Czar, been a terrible Border Czar? Well, Donald Trump's been campaigning for 3.5 years. Or actually, even one better than that. There was a tweet that was put out by an individual, and I thought I had it here. Goodness gracious, where is it? I had it. Gentleman put out a, let me see, put out a tweet, oh, from Mark Cuban, okay? And Mark Cuban now has helped Kamala Harris and the Democrat Party reinvent the mass border crisis that's occurred under Joe Biden and Border Czar Harris. And Mark Cuban stated that Biden and Harris here it is, Jake 22 posted this on Twitter, on X. The tweet said, Mark Cuban said that the border crisis got away from Joe Biden and Kamala Harris because their hearts were too big to anticipate how many people would want to cross. Now, that's utter garbage. That's an absolute spin, okay? But it's taken 3 years for them to come up with some sort of reasoning as to why the open border mentality, which, by the way, was in compliance with the United Nations 2030 agenda, which was in compliance with the 2015 George Soros Open Border Society, which was adopted by Joe Biden and Border Czar Kamala Harris. Okay? It isn't because the border crisis got away from Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and because their hearts were too big. It's because they wanted to dilute America's republic. They were looking for new voters. And they infused millions, tens of millions of illegal aliens, and they did it with taxpayer-funded money, whether it was from USAID Department, whether it was from the UNRWA, whether it was from the Norwegian Refugee Council, the Red Cross, the European Union, to name a few. The infusion of illegal aliens was exactly what Joe Biden, Border Czar Harris, and the Obama alumni team wanted. One thing about the Democrat Uniparty, they continually try to find the right spin to justify their unconstitutional actions. And this was unconstitutional. What's occurred the last 3.5 years at the border with our open border invasion is anti-constitutional. It violates Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution. Now, since 1973, Joe Biden has taken an oath of office to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution. And over the last 12 years, Border Czar Harris has taken an oath of office to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution, and they both failed miserably. They both have committed treason. The seditious act of opening our borders to be in compliance with a foreign source also violates Article 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution, the U.S. Supremacy Clause, which states that the U.S. Constitution shall be the supreme law of the land. Both of these individuals should be impeached. But, you know, we have such a corrupt government that the Washington, D.C. syndicate also believes in open borders. They do not believe in our constitutional republic. So for 3 years, Joe Biden and Border Czar Kamala Harris ignored the U.S. border crisis. They ignored from the standpoint when U.S. governors were asking for help to combat the invasion, Border Czar Harris was AWOL. Just like Biden and Harris were AWOL in Afghanistan. And remember, Border Czar Harris said she was the last person in the room with regards to the decision in Afghanistan. They were AWOL in East Palestine, Ohio, with that environment. It took a year to East Palestine, Ohio. To this day, Border Czar Harris has not been to East Palestine, Ohio, in the wake of that environmental disaster. And then you had Bozo Buttigieg doing some publicity stunt on a bicycle. You know, driving into the outskirts of East Palestine, Ohio, they pull a bike out of the trunk and he gets on it and he starts bicycling inside the city. This is how fraudulent these individuals are. They don't have a heart. And for Mark Cuban to say that their heart's too big is bullshit. Where were they? If they had big hearts, where were they in Lahaina, in Maui with the Hawaiian fires? They were AWOL. It took Joe Biden over a year to go to Lahaina, Maui. And still, those people, the Lahaina, Maui citizens, the residents, are still displaced. Border Czar Harris and Biden were AWOL on the border, and they were. It wasn't until the election year of 2024 to mention Joe Biden and Border Czar Harris even mentioned the border. Yes, she went to Rio in Texas, the Rio Grande, which is not the hot point. Eagle Pass is the hot point. But by God, you know, Biden or Harris would never go down there because it would bring light. It would bring attention to the failures of this regime and what they caused. And you know what they caused? It caused the Border Patrol Association to unanimously endorse President Trump for President of the United States. Even the steelworkers have endorsed President Trump in Pittsburgh. No wonder why. No wonder why the labor union, the UK Labor Party, is sending their little chimpanzees to Pennsylvania to help Kamala Harris and her campaign. Because even the steelworkers know that Donald Trump would be far better president and he would do what he says, not give some word salad answer. So while Biden and Harris were AWOL during all these crises that occurred over the last 3.5 years, they've now come out and they have amnesia. Over 25 million unvetted, unvaccinated, illegal aliens have poured through our borders. And Biden and Border Czar Harris opened the U.S. borders and then walked away from it. They went deaf, dumb, and blind. And then to make matters worse, Biden and Border Czar Harris used taxpayer money to charter planes to transport illegal, unvetted aliens into the United States and deposit these illegal aliens into cities and towns all across the United States of America. I was with some family this past weekend, and they were talking about how north there was a elementary school, and one of their friends' child was starting the first grade. 34 kids in the class. There were 27 illegal aliens, I'm sorry, undocumented migrants who didn't speak English. 27 out of 34. And now the school district has to hire interpreters to help these children who don't speak English learn English. And if that teacher doesn't speak, let's say, Spanish, if it came through, it doesn't matter what language. The fact is the teacher doesn't speak a foreign language, you have a problem. Do you understand what that does to the tax base in those little communities, in those towns, in those counties, in that state that's already passed a budget? And then you infuse hundreds of families into those communities, and you're taking away taxpayer resources. You're taking away resources of police, fire, garbage, trash pickups. And now you've got Mark Cuban coming up with a phony cliche that Biden and Harris were their hearts are too big to anticipate how many people would want to cross into the United States. It got the border crisis got away from them. Yet they contributed to the illegal aliens being flown into the United States, into Westchester Airport here in New York in the dead of night. And then employees were whisked away so that when the charter flights came in, they could not help unload. You know, this whole thing, it's amazing. It's like a nightmare. And it continues for 3 years. Well, you know, it's so nice to have, you know, a grandfatherly type individual in the White House. No, it's not. We have foreign nations walking all over the United States. We have a president and vice president, Biden and Harris, who have adopted foreign international policies and overriding our U.S. Constitution and doing it unilaterally. It's not just a $4.5 billion student loan forgiveness that, once again, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have forgiven. Once again, not once, not twice. Now it's the third time. Yet we have illegal aliens who are now within our communities, and our resources are being bled. So not only does the tax base hurt, we're paying more for gas at the pump. We're paying more at the grocery store. We're paying more for insurance. We're paying more for utilities. And now we're in a budget time. Your states now are or will be discussing budgets for the next fiscal year. Unlike the federal government, many states in the United States have a constitutional law, a state constitutional law, that you must have it pass a balanced budget. And the Medicaid doles in your respective states are skyrocketing. And who pays for this? Will each state now get a stipend from the federal government and will go deeper into debt? $34 trillion is not enough. And because of the intentional acts by Joe Biden, Bortezar Harris, and the Obama alumni team, it will be incumbent upon the federal government to fork over more of our taxpayer money. No wonder why Kamala Harris came up with this this tax scheme on stocks, unrealized gain. No wonder. Because they have to find a way to rape the American people even more, so we'll have more and more money that will be dependent upon the federal government. I mean, this whole illegal alien movement, it was pretty much dead. It was dead from 2017 to 2020 because President Trump and his team had a control on the border, and it was erased. It was immediately erased by Joe Biden and Border Czar Harris. We got a call. I guess you must have inspired him, Al, because he's on the phone. We have the Viking from Minnesota. Good evening, Holzer. How are you doing, Mr. Viking?
Welcome. Well, we're a little bit in mourning here because the Minnesota Vikings lost to the Detroit Lions yesterday in a barn burner.
Yeah.
But we'll get over it. Yeah, I couldn't resist. I didn't realize I was on the payroll, and I'm on the ground here in Minneapolis. You know, so I figured I better earn that paycheck from you guys. Actually, in that, I don't know. You know, I'm on Twitter a lot and X a lot, and this story came up here locally, and I don't know if it made it. I think it was on Gateway Pundit. But it popped up just one, the other day. That popped up where this guy's some, just Joe citizen is just walking, in a parking lot in one of the suburbs of Minneapolis, and he walks by this van with the back gate of the van is wide open, and there's all these boxes of ballots sitting in the back of this van. Now, did you guys see that?
No.
So, I mean, there's like, 10 boxes of ballots. So I'm guessing there's probably 50 to 100,000, 50,000 ballots, something like that. And what he was doing is he was picking up ballots and then delivering them. So, from what I gather, he picked up all these ballots at all these different places. He brings them to this suburb, this government center, and he opens up the back and he, loads up a couple boxes to bring them inside. But, he's so frickin' lazy that, he doesn't want to come back out and have to open the gate again, the end gate. So he just leaves it open. And the local guys on Twitter just absolutely went bonkers. I mean, you got to remember Minneapolis. We had the Al Franken, ballots in the trunk thing here years and years ago, and we had like 30% more votes in 2020 than we've ever had in the history of the state. And of course, we're called nuts, conspiracy, election deniers, all that kind of good stuff. But anyway. The guys on Twitter locally got so incensed with it, the thing was all over the place, so that the media here actually had to put up a story about it.
Really?
And they fired the guy. And I'm sitting there and I'm talking to these guys from locally here from Twitter, and I'm like, I said, Jesus, I said, this is just one where some Joe citizen stumbled across it. I said, how many other, so we got a guy that's just stupid enough to leave the end gate open and let anybody do anything they want with all these ballots. But I said, what about the guy that's got a meth habit and somebody just offered him $5,000, to drop the ballots off so they can, play with them for 2 hours, come back, and we'll give you a check for $5,000. God almighty. Crazy.
Hal, hey, hold on. Wait. Listen, this is from CBS News. Hennepin County says no evidence of tampering after vehicle full of ballots left unattended. Courier fired.
Yep, there you go.
Oh, my gosh.
And I asked the question 2 days ago, and I've never gotten an answer. The question I asked was, okay, was the courier actually a Hennepin County employee, or was this a courier they hired? Like Jimmy Joe's her courier service? Oh, anyway, I digress.
No, it's a great question.
But, I mean, it's like... I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay, so they're absent, and these are absentee ballots, okay? So I'm like, okay, so you fill out an absentee ballot, and where does it go? So apparently it goes to a place where they have to now pick them up and bring them to another place to be counted.
And I'm like, you know, I know I'm kind of a practical guy, but I'm like, how about if you just change the place where they go to the place where they're fucking counted?
They're supposed to go directly to the supervisor of elections. That's where they're supposed to be mailed.
No, it says something about that they go to an election center. They go to, they actually, I believe they go to the polling place.
So
CNN reports the ballots in question weren't actually mailed, but were left by voters at drop boxes to be picked up by election workers and delivered to election offices for processing.
Yeah, and so that's my point. I don't know if it's just in Minnesota, but in Minnesota, if you have an absentee ballot, you know, if you're going to be gone and miss the election, all that kind of good stuff, the absentee ballot,
you
bring it to the election, the place where you vote, you bring it to. And then they collect them all, and then they send them to this other place where they're actually processed. They're actually counted because they're paper ballots. Okay? And I'm like, okay, so didn't anybody ever think about the fact that, okay, now you got, you know, 30 different polling places with these things busting at the seams. Now you got to pick them all up and trust the guy picking them all up that he's going to get them to the... So in other words, my point being is if you've got a really conservative section like where I live outside of Minneapolis, a really conservative area, if they come to pick up the absentee ballots, the guy could just throw them in a dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows that 80% of them are going to be for Trump.
Where's your governor? He should be all over this.
We haven't seen much of him. He's been kicking his leg up all over the country.
Male dominance.
Just embarrassing. But I wanted to just make this point, because the Mark Cuban thing is, you know, and you know, Vito, the thing is, you bring up Mark Cuban, you know, he's become the darling of the left now.
Yes.
You know, they're just worshiping this guy. And for him to come out and say the border crisis got away from Joe Biden,
mm-hmm.
and Kamala Harris, okay? So I'm sitting here and I'm thinking to myself, okay, what else got away from Sleepy Joe? You know, maybe could you say inflation got away from Joe? How about the economy overall? Did that get away from Joe? How about that little war over in Ukraine and Russia? That get away from Joe? I mean, if I'm Donald Trump, I'm going to play the clip in the ad of Mark Cuban saying this got away from Kamala Harris. And then in big letters it's going to say, what else got away from Kamala? Boom, 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 boom. My point being is that what drives me crazy in this country is anybody associated with the private sector is held to this enormous standard, okay? In other words, you're doing business with a credit card company. They better do everything right. You know, mm-hmm. if they screw up, then people band together and they're like, oh, this credit card company is screwing us over, blah, 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 blah. But when it comes to the government, it's a free pass.
Yes, correct.
So, in other words, the female executive at Budweiser, who came up with this brilliant plan to associate Bud Light with the transgender dude, you know, she didn't last. It all fell apart, and she was gone like in 3 weeks. Joe Biden screws up the border. He screws up inflation. He screws up the economy. He screws up Ukraine. He screws up the Middle East. He screws up 50 other things. He screws up our energy independence. He screws up 100 things. But no, nobody's allowed to even point it out.
Well, I think there's a difference, though, Holger, with regards to Biden and Harris. Now, it's one thing about screwing it up. The other thing is ignoring. And I think that was the brilliant move on the part of Biden and border czar Harris. They simply ignored the border for 3 years. And then once they addressed it, the plan was to address the border issue in an election year, demand that Congress fix it, and then when Congress couldn't pass anything, you blame Donald Trump. And it worked brilliant. I mean, you have to hand it to Barack Hussein Satoru Obama and his minions for crafting this, because you've got a brain dead Biden and you have the border czar Harris, who are both malleable morons, who actually just go with the flow. And I really do think there is a reason why Obama had all of his alumni team in place around the executive branch of government. And it was for this very reason to ignore all of these issues. You know, ignore Afghanistan, and then 3 years later say it was such a success. Ignore East Palestine, Ohio, and then also the media ignored it because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris ignored it. I'm still sitting here going, okay, now wait a minute. I know we shouldn't obsess over this, but the left wing loves the environmental issues. Oh, we have climate change. Oh, we have this, and we have clean water. And East Palestine, Ohio, the residents get contaminated by one of the worst environmental disasters. And there's absolutely zero consequences for Biden and Harris for ignoring it. So the idea this last 3 years was for Biden and Harris to ignore everything. The highest gas prices. Now you're talking to, you know, Harris is going on the campaign stuff. So she's going to change things. What are you going to change? You're an idiot.
No.
But it's okay. You'll continue to ignore, and the American people pay for it. And then you and I sit here and we spend 2 hours talking about how much of a failed regime they've been. But I can't help but say this is all by design. Thank you, iGuy. But it's all by design. And now we're sitting here talking like, where's the media been? You know, we look at the media to be this bastion of truth, and they're not. The U.S. media now is complicit and compliant to the Democrat National Committee, and they have allowed for these disasters. The Lahaina Maui fires was an absolute cover-up.
Yep.
And it took Joe Biden one year to go there. And the people are still, the citizens of Lahaina are still struggling.
Well, and you make great points and so forth. But I think what you come down to is it's almost like three ways to look at something, Vito. You can look at, you know, pure incompetence. Okay, so in other words, if the border crisis, okay, is just, you know, complete pure incompetence that they just couldn't handle the situation, okay? Then you've got what you're talking about, ignoring it, okay? But then you've got the third part, I think, is you have to look at is, was it engineered?
Yes.
I mean, was it actually done on purpose? And you look at all these different things. Most economists would say that when federal spending gets completely out of control, one of the bad things that happens is inflation goes up. So they were spending like drunken sailors, knowing that inflation was going to go up. So I would make the claim that the rise in inflation was engineered by the Biden administration.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you go through all of these different issues, I think you can see the engineering of it. You can see the stress that they wanted to put on the economy. They wanted the things to turn bad, okay? And, you know, bottom line is now you hear some of these excuses by these people and so forth, but bottom line is you just brought it up. You brought up the cover-up by the media. Okay, and think about, you know, I was a younger man when Watergate happened, okay? But if you remember, the country was absolutely transfixed by Watergate for months and months and months. I mean, it was like, you know, Haldeman and Ehrlichman. And I mean, my God, it's like the first time the American people were exposed to this inner part of government, and we were supposed to try to comprehend that these people were lying and they were covering things up and they were notorious, and there was, you know, the word corruption was actually being used and stuff. I mean, the country was totally absorbed in this for, you know, however freaking long it was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, look at us now. COVID. The plandemic. I mean, good God, 2 years from now, people aren't going to even remember it.
Correct.
I mean, who engineered that thing? It's like, who, name one person in this country who's been held responsible for COVID.
Nobody, not even Fauci.
The reason I bring it up is because things have changed so much in such a short period of time, and it's only getting worse because it's like the Israeli leaking of documents on Israel's plans against Iran, that being leaked to Iranian people.
Oh, yes.
Is that will be off the radar in a week. You know, if Ronald Reagan had been found that his administration leaked that kind of data to, you know, a foreign country, an enemy country, I mean, he would have been impeached. It would have been news for 2 years. It would have been, you know, but that's the world we live in now. And I think it has to do with a phrase that we once heard, I think, back in, oh, I don't know, I think 2008. Fundamental transformation.
Yep.
That
good
was
point.
The transformation that Barack Obama was talking about. It wasn't that he wasn't talking about a transformation from a constitutional republic to a Marxist form of government. He was talking about a transformation in this country where the truth never matters anymore. And that you have the whole population of this country who absolutely doesn't know what's right or wrong anymore.
Well, Holzer, that's what the last 3 years has been about, and that's the way, as a good way to articulate that. You did well with it, because the chaos that we've seen, and the chaos meaning Americans are hit at all different angles, from all different points, and then we were hit with this misinformation and disinformation campaign as well. And so we don't know what's true. And as a result of that engineering of those words, the government then steps in after creating this and manufacturing this crisis. They say, listen, we're going to tell you what's disinformation and what's misinformation. And so they hit the social media platforms, Twitter, and they hit Facebook, and they went at Google. And they said, we'll tell you what's disinformation and misinformation. So the tweets that
Bingo.
Are put out by Holzer, we're going to suppress those because we're going to tell you how to think and what's disinformation.
Yep.
And then hence we got 3 years later, we get John Kerry sitting before the World Economic Forum and say, you know, there's a cancer out there and there's a sickness in the media. We must determine what that sickness is and we must control it. Oh, okay. Free speech is a bad thing. That's what he said. Free speech is a bad thing. Since when? Since what? Since 1787, when James Madison, you know, wrote, the Federalist Number 10, or Alexander Hamilton talked about the government not controlling speech. I mean, what? Jesus, man.
I mean, you just really nailed it there. And that's the point where people get to that point where they don't know what the truth is anymore. They certainly can't get it from the media. The people even know that now, that they're not going to get the truth from the media. And so when people don't, but when government steps in and just says, hey, we understand your concerns, the chaos and all that, you know, we are going to handle it for you. And that goes back to my previous point when I first called in, was the fact that we still, to this day, we still have the majority of the people in this country who trust the federal government.
Yes, correct.
There's no other way to put it. They trust the federal government. And I could give you, I could sit down tonight and make a list of 500 things that the federal government has done that have been complete failures. And yet they will trust the government to tell them the truth about COVID. They're going to trust Kamala Harris to tell them the truth about what's going on at the border. But we got shit, 75% of the beer drinkers in America wouldn't touch a fucking Bud Light now because the woman screwed up, man. Well, I'm not going to drink a Bud Light, but I'm fine with paying 35% more in taxes and 60% more on prices because I trust the government. I've had it. I have never been surrounded by such stupid frickin' people in my life.
Well, you know, you
might be the state I live in.
Al, you got a comment on this one.
I don't know. He's right. There are no more. There's too many stupid people. I don't know how you
well,
fix that either.
I don't know. I would love to see a pie chart right now of the number of adults in the country, you know, that basically started school during the prime indoctrination years. Okay, in other words, I went to public school. I admit it, but I'm an old guy. So it was before the schools became this, you know, cesspool of Marxist wokeism and stuff. But, you know, I got to believe that the whole school system is partly to blame for this dumbing down of America and this.
Oh, that this. and look how the Netflix programming has changed our culture in a very negative way. I don't know if you watch Netflix at all, but Netflix programming has changed from beyond woke. It's promoting every negative societal culture against the family, gay marriage, gay everything, anti-government for the most part, and it's having a huge effect, I think, on our culture, and our culture dictates our politics in a lot of ways.
I sat down and watched the Netflix show, and I liked it a lot, but I watched this Netflix show, and when it was over, I went back to watch it again, and I said to myself, okay, I am going to count the number of homosexual relationships in the show versus heterosexual. And it was like 7-1.
Whoa. Really?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, homosexuals in America are like 3% of the population. Well, I'm watching a show where 70% of every relationship is either a guy and a guy or a girl and a girl.
And that's the problem. I mean, I don't care what people do on their own. You know, people are free to do whatever they want. But don't shove that lifestyle down my throat.
Exactly.
The percentage numbers that are way beyond the norm.
Yep.
Like you said, you think that's common. If you're not in a relationship like that, you're the minority.
Yep. That's the whole point. I mean, and they have proved that. I mean, they have polled Americans and they've said, okay, how many, what percentage of the population is gay in America? Okay. And like the last time they did it was like a year and a half ago or 2 years ago or something like that. And the answer came back as 23%. 23% of Americans are gay. That was the perception of adults in this country, that 23%, one out of every four people, is gay. But that just goes into the cultural change that you, I mean, you could do the same thing about, you know, whatever. I mean, it's racism. It could be about any part of the woke culture and all that kind of good stuff. But anyway, appreciate you letting me call in. I had not heard Mark Cuban say that thing about the border crisis getting away. And like, that just blew me away.
Just, well, you
that
know,
was,
it,
that
it,
was unscripted honesty. Where did that come from? This is a guy who wants to run the SEC. That's his, that's his deal with Kamala, supposedly.
I was going to tweet him back on X and say, you know, Mark, if you're going to be the darling of the left, you can't be honest like this. You can't be just like saying, well, it got away from him. You know, that's too close to the truth, man.
Yeah, well, your dreams of running the SEC just got away from you, Mark. Sorry.
Well, you notice how the media also buried the story about the tax on unrealized gains? And he said that would be the death knell to the stock market. And have you heard any more about that? I mean, no, that's right. We're talking about Trump and Agenda 2025. Well, no wonder why they're making that up. Because they don't want to hear it. You know, for all of Cuban's faults, you know, he was spot on about the tax on unrealized gain and what it would do to the stock market and it would hurt them, definitely hurt the middle class and the investor. And yet the U.S. media just kind of was complicit and they walked away. And I'm sure the DNC told their media outlets just to avoid, you know, covering that type of information from Mark Cuban. And yet this guy's going to have a seat in the – potentially could have a seat in the Kamala Harris regime?
No.
Would they have this type of a loose cannon in there?
I don't know. It's just, you know, it's mind-boggling to me that, you know, just within, what, the last 2 months,
mm-hmm.
you know, we nearly saw Donald Trump's brain splattered all over a podium. And that's about as significant now as if he'd have gotten COVID.
Yeah.
You know, there is absolutely nothing in this world that could shock anybody anymore. And there's nothing that could stay in the news cycle. There's nothing that could happen. The Iranians could have fooled everybody, launch a missile attack on Tel Aviv using nuclear warheads, and it would be gone in a week.
Yep. Yep.
It is just scary, scary stuff. So
it's going to be interesting.
With that positive thing, I bid you adieu. Long live America.
Well, thank you for the call. As always, we appreciate it. And you know,
good call,
great call. So have a good evening.
All right, guys. Catch you later. Yep, bye.
All right.
Well, one thing we know, Vito, is that the world is safe because Secretary Anthony Blinken is at the Global Anti-Racism Champions Award ceremony.
So, okay, so let's get this straight now. You have the Pentagon. Somebody in the Pentagon leaked to Israel's plans to attack Iran, and the Secretary of State is where?
He is at the Global Anti-Racism Champions Award ceremony. Anti-racism is another word for anti-white, white against white nationalism.
Yeah. And we were talking about creating chaos and distracting Americans. And what were we talking about? Were we talking about something like that earlier? I mean, where are the priorities? We have an issue right now. that once again, the Pentagon is out of control. Once again, and you know what? Thank you, Dogs, for the American Spectator. There's an article that Dogs posted in the chat room from the American Spectator, and Al, I think this all ties in. Expert Michael Waller, America's intel agencies are compromised. J. Michael Waller argues our intelligence agencies are heavily politicized left-wing bureaucracies that have betrayed their intended purposes. And where is the Secretary of State? He's at, what is it again?
The Global Anti-Racism Champions Award Ceremony.
I mean,
all the DEI people should be there, not our Secretary of State. And then after Sinwar, the head of Hamas, was assassinated by Israel, the same Secretary Anthony J. Blinken, the first call he made was to Qatar, which barely made the news. There was a few stories here and there. But what the hell is he doing calling Qatar, which is one of the main financiers of Islamic jihadi terrorism around the world? His first call should have been to Bibi Netanyahu congratulating him on the operation.
Yes.
Which leads to the story that you were starting with regarding the leaked documents.
So, leaked documents show U.S. intelligence on Israel's plans to attack Iran. The U.S. is investigating a leak of highly classified U.S. intelligence about Israel's plans for retaliation against Iran, according to three people familiar with the matter. One of the people familiar confirmed the document's authenticity. The leak is deeply concerning, a U.S. official told CNN. The documents dated October 15 and 16 began circulating online Friday after being posted on Telegram by an account called Middle East Spectator. They are marked top secret and have markings indicating they are meant to be only seen by the U.S. and its five eyes, allies Australia, Canada, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom. Okay, so the U.K. now, we know the Labour Party is sending 100 of their chimpanzees to America to help Kamala Harris's fledgling campaign. Australia and Canada are owned by the United Nations. I'm sorry, Australia and New Zealand are owned by the United Nations. So we know that they're compliant with the UN, and the UN despises Israel. And then Canada. Canada is Fidel Castro's love child, is the head of Canada, Justin Trudeau, who's also compliant to the United Nations globalist movement. So it could have come from the Five Eyes, but also let's not forget what expert Michael Waller in the American Spectator, what he stated, that our intelligence agencies are heavily politicized left-wing bureaucracies that have betrayed their intended purposes. And betrayed is the operative word, because the left-wing bureaucracies have betrayed Israel. They despise the state of Israel. From Barack Hussein to Toro Obama to Joe Biden to Kamala Harris, they despise Israel. Why the American Jews, the Jews in America, continue to support this is actually, it's crazy. It's unbelievable. When the Israeli Jewish people have no use for Joe Biden nor Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama. And yet leaked documents, once again, to undermine Israel, makes its way to Telegram. And now we have a problem inside of the Biden-Harris regime. And the Department of Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, who was AWOL last year, is also a problem. Is Anthony Blinken the source for these leaked documents? Does he have the disdain that we don't know about with regards to Israel? Obviously, he does. If he's calling Qatar before he calls Bibi Netanyahu to congratulate him for taking out Yahya. And Yahya, by the way, was the architect of the October 7th massacre in Israel. By the way, so you know, Yahya Sinwar was one of, I believe, three of the Hamas leaders. Now, Hamas is a foreign terrorist organization that's designated by the United States government. And Qatar was harboring the Hamas leaders. And you know what else about the Hamas leaders? They were all billionaires. These Palestinian Gazans who became leaders of Hamas are worth billions of dollars. Now, we are told how desperate the Palestinian people are, how destitute they are, and all because of Israel. That's what we're told. You know, that's the campaign. That's the campaign by the left in America. That's the campaign by the United Nations and why they send their 35,000 UNRWA employees into Gaza and into the West Bank. And we're told in the West that Israel is bad. In the meantime, the leaders of Hamas are billionaires. And they're being harbored by Qatar. And isn't it ironic that Anthony Blinken and the Biden-Harris regime's first call isn't to Bibi Netanyahu when one of the chief architect of the massacre on October 7, 2023 is not to Bibi Netanyahu, but it's to Qatar? And further proof is that there's a photo of Mrs. Sinwar, Yahya Sinwar's wife, as the Sinwars are escaping through a tunnel. She is carrying a $35,000 Birkin bag, a handbag, $35,000. There aren't Palestinians who make $35,000 a year, and yet the leaders of Hamas are somehow have acquired this mass wealth. But nobody talks about that. And Israel is the bad guy once again. And the United States under Biden and Harris continue to undermine Israel, our only real ally in the Middle East. The United Nations undermines Israel at all points. So who?
And the story
out?
Gets even. Yeah.
Go ahead. How does the story go?
Well, I was going to say the story gets even more insidious. Rob Malley, Biden's Iran envoy, is under FBI investigation for mishandling classified documents. Much of the State Department covered for him, lying to Congress and foreign officials. And then there's Ariane Tabatabi. She's the chief of staff to the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Special Operations. She is an Iranian immigrant who was collaborating with the Iranian Foreign Ministry back in 2014 and ran her congressional testimony past Iran. Ariane Tabatabi was already the subject of extensive scrutiny, and according to Jennifer Van Laar of Red State, there's a source saying that the leak came out of the same office. But those are just the obvious red flags with links to Iran. There's a whole army of radicals, Islamic extremists, and anti-Israel activists now deeply embedded in the NSC, the intelligence community, the Department of Defense, and just about everywhere else. And it's entirely plausible that the leak was deliberate because it follows on the raft of deliberate previous leaks. So the rot runs deep through the Department of Defense all the way up to Blinken. And this is all what President Biden built with the hands and the help of Kamala Harris.
You know,
and there's one more thing.
Oh, no.
Kamala Harris told Israel not to go into Rafah. And Rafah is where Sinwar was found, as well as five hostages 6 months ago were rescued. So what the hell is Kamala Harris, weighing in on that and telling Israel what not to do, only not to go into the command and control structure of Hamas in Gaza.
Well,
you connect all these dots, and it's a disgusting, smelly corruption that is dangerous to Israel. So it's easy to understand now why Israel does not share any intelligence with the United States of America.
Yes, and so let's also not forget that it was Joe Biden who made it clear that he delegated more foreign and domestic policies to Kamala Harris. So these policies that we're seeing, this is coming out under her watch. These leaks are very,
yeah,
very troubling. And you know what also kind of brings, it brings me back to also the, when you mentioned the Iranian broad, who's the chief of staff for the assistant, the explanatory memorandum comes to mind. The Iqwa must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within. And here you have from within, from our own government, the U.S. State Department, the Pentagon, there is a massive leak to undermine our allies. And yet nobody, you know, where's the outrage in this?
There is no
wow.
outrage. That's why there's pro-Hamas rallies all across the United States that aren't being squashed, even though Hamas is a designated terrorist organization.
Yeah, you know, Holger brings up a good point. In 3.5 years, isn't it odd that the Ukraine war, there's been no leaks of NATO or U.S. plans? Yet in 1 year, we've had two massive leaks with regards to Israel and the campaign, and there has been no demands for Hamas to scrap their charter that calls for the annihilation of Israel. That's a great point, Holger.
Biden and Harris, yeah, great point, because it's a clear, by deeds, it shows that Biden and Harris have a clear connection and affinity for Hamas, for Islamic Jihad, and they want to do whatever they need to do to keep the squad happy and to protect the Muslim vote, which they're not. The Muslims hate everybody in America. They hate the Democrats. They hate the Republicans. They're against everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going after that demographic and our national security as a result is a sieve of information that makes America weaker, makes the world less secure. When the world is less secure, the tyrants feel emboldened to act and to act violently against America's best interests.
Al, that Iranian asset, who does she work for again?
Abatadi.
Abatadi.
Yep. Here he is. Ariane Tabatabi. She's the chief of staff to the assistant secretary of the defense for special operations, an Iranian
Ooh.
Immigrant who was collaborating with the Iranian foreign ministry back in 2014 and ran her congressional testimony past Iran. As Kelly says, that's some fucked up shit.
Yes.
Excuse my French.
I mean, we're talking about special ops. I mean, that's a classified deep dive. I mean, special
right.
ops would be many covert operations. And so we have an Iranian operative who is sitting inside the Department of Defense in the Pentagon,
mm-hmm.
who is she's the chief of staff for the assistant for special ops.
Well, according to
Whoa.
Daniel Greenfield, and this is where the information is coming from, in 2016, Ariane Tabatai co-wrote an article arguing that the United States should ally with Iran against ISIS. So she is clearly – in the tank for Iran is probably an Iranian operative.
Okay, so now we not only did we have the former Secretary of State John Kerry collaborating with the Iranians and then doing it during the Trump years, okay, from 2017 to 2020, but now you also have somebody who's embedded within a key covert location for our U.S. military. Do you see, folks, that there may be an issue here?
Well, yes, she has access and security clearance to some of the most sensitive and important issues there, and who obviously has had a relationship with the administration in Iran.
Mm. And then you have the Biden-Harris regime who helped restart and re-energize the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran's treasury to the tune now that they have a surplus of $100 billion. Thanks to the Biden-Harris regime not enforcing sanctions and allowing Iran to sell 1 million barrels of oil a day to communist China. And not only that, you have the Biden-Harris regime buying oil from the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran, releasing $6.5 billion of assets within 30 days of the October 7th attack, and then another $65 billion of assets has been released to Iran. So, you know,
I was going to say, and don't forget that during President Trump's, while he was in office, he isolated Iran, shut down this money spigot to Iran, and made them a pariah state, and they were nearly bankrupt when he left office.
Yeah, and President Trump has a track record, and that track record was stability, that track record was peace through strength, and that track record was respect because he commanded it. Unlike Kamala Harris, who's nothing but a malleable moron for Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, the World Economic Forum, and certainly George Soros, these leaks, okay, these people should be charged with treason, and as Holdridge stated, in 3.5 years, there have been no leaks about the Ukraine war. So you have a left wing, thank you to Gulf Dogs, you have a left wing that's heavily politicizing bureaucracies, and they've betrayed their intended purposes. They've betrayed our allies. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have betrayed our allies, and one of them being Israel. Folks, check out Hank Jones and Polly Sports this Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Let's hope BTR works. Thursday, the beautiful Christy, read more truth about Islam. Saturday, Minister Samadactic, the beautiful Christy, revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Sunday morning, Hank Jones and Polly Sports with their college football wrap-up at 9. I think they were at 9 a.m. Eastern Time last week with Avid Mike. Check out his show. If you like sports, these two guys know football. They know college football. It's really impressive to listen to them. If you want a break from politics. Monday, Alan, I'll be back at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Other shows on Blog Talk Radio include Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, and our great psychic, author Curtis Bennett, Friday afternoons, 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. You got Simone Nicole's show on Spreaker.com, an apolitical show. If you want a break from politics and everything else Islam, check out the Simone Nicole Show Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time at Spreaker.com. Audrey Russo, a great American of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday evenings. Go to AudreyRusso.com. AudreyRusso.com. Great show. She does a fantastic job. Also, RZ Reactionary, go to Spreaker.com, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com. Al, any parting shots?
Adios, amigos. Have a great week. Stay safe, and we'll see you next Monday.
And I want to say goodnight to Bigfoot, our big patriot, www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Thank you, Big, for all you do. Ducky Northwest, Gulf Dogs, HOV Radio. Get a mom with me and no Sharia, the first one in the house. The Boyd, Alaska. Nice to see you, Boyd, and I hope you have safe travels. And I, Guy, you all take care now. Be safe. God bless America. That's all I can say right now. Trump Vance 2024. Ciao for now, folks.
Yes, it was mine.
numbers.
Man, Al, this is getting really, this is getting real serious when our allies cannot trust the United States government. And, you know, who are these individuals who are undermining the diplomacy process? And this time in the Pentagon? I mean, does Lloyd Austin have no accountability whatsoever?
Apparently not, because the story that Greenfield wrote, that was back in 2023. So it's not like this is new information. This Iranian plant has been in a secure position with security clearance, obviously, I don't know what level. But she should have been gone a long time ago, which means that she's embedded with knowledge from her uppers.
Well, and you know what? And this, so let's tie this also. So it first started with Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the Awan brothers. So the Awan brothers had access to Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was also the chair of the Democrat National Committee, had access to her files because they were the computer guys for her. So,
that's,
you know,
right.
And they were Iranian. So really, what's going on here? Is the Democrat Party, how about this? Is the Uniparty, the Washington, D.C. establishment, are they that compromised by foreign adversaries? I mean, you've got Eric Swalwell, whose entire campaign was his political career was launched by Fang Fang, a Chinese spy. You've got Dianne Feinstein, whose driver was a Chinese spy for 20 years. You've got Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the Awan brothers, not one brother, but three brothers worked in her office, and there was no accountability whatsoever. And I believe it was a Capitol Police officer who found her hard drive in a telephone booth. Somebody made a call, and they believe it was one of the Awan brothers who put the hard drive from her office in a phone booth, and that story was spiked and buried. So they had Debbie
Wasserman. That's as crazy as the 5,000 ballots that were in the back of that one employee's minivan, wide open to the world.
Yes.
Talk about a chain of custody being compromised. Holy mackerel.
Holy mackerel is right. Yeah, and was that by design? You know, was leaving the trunk open and then walking away, was somebody else supposed to be there to pick up those ballots? And by the way, it was reported that none of the ballots were tampered with, and they're all accounted for. Okay. How many boxes are missing? Was this a drop-off point? Was somebody supposed to drop these ballots off and then have them completed and then resubmitted? I mean, you know, there's so many questions. And yes, you know, you say it's conspiracy, but how is a trunk – when you see the picture of that vehicle, the trunk's wide open and the boxes are sitting there. And it looks like they could have fit at least two or three more boxes because there's a couple of holes. I mean, this is incredible.
It's beyond believable. If there wasn't a picture, you wouldn't believe it, especially after all of the ajna from the last election.
Right. So here we have another issue. Was there the voter irregularities? It sounds like it was true because in the movie 2000 Mules, you had 6 to 12 of the individuals who were highlighted in the documentary have been arrested. So, wait a minute. The conspiracy theory is no longer a conspiracy because the people that were involved in 2000 Mules exposed as those that were illegally acquiring ballots were arrested.
Oh, that didn't make the news.
No,
heavily.
It didn't make the news.
Kind of like that CBS interview with Kamala Harris. Answers that were edited out, other answers edited in, and they may as well have been doing a commercial for Koala.
Yes, yes. You're absolutely right.
I mean, they did a commercial for Koala because they took out anything that was bad and they cleaned it up. They put lipstick on the pig.
Yeah.
Where's
sure
the Federal Election Commission?
Good question.
That's an in-kind donation to the Harris campaign. Not to mention lying. They should lose their FEC, their license, their broadcast license for lying to the public.
Yeah, the media at that.
At a minimum, or they should be fined millions of dollars so nobody else does it again.
I think I got that. Let me see. Was this the one?
But it seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening. That's what should be,
not what is.
Correct. That's what it should be, not what it is. You know.
Right.
Yeah. Would they have done that?
Farting in the wind.
Well, you know, the sad part of it is that it just goes to show how compromised and how dishonest the U.S. media has become. And,
well, Trump did do an interview with 60 Minutes. Remember with Leslie Stahl?
Yes. Yes.
And she lied, and Trump said, "You're lying." And then it found out that Trump was true, and there was no redaction. No, or not redact. They never redacted the lie. And why Trump, one of the reasons why Trump did not do the last debate was with CBS. He said, when CBS apologizes for lying during that interview, then I'll come do the debate, and they never did. That was never the story. That was never the headline.
And you know what else? I got to tell you, what I find ironic in this whole thing, okay? So I've listened to these left-wing news readers, and they're all dumping on Trump, okay, for not doing the debate, right, and debating on CBS. Okay, we watched the debate with NBC and Kristen, whatever her name is, and the other guy were fact-checking President Trump, and they were pushing back on Trump and what he stated. David Muir, and never challenging the Democrat Party opponent, Kamala Harris or Joe Biden. And then he doesn't get a fair shake again he got a fair shake with CNN, pretty fair, actually. And I think that was all by design in the setup. But anytime a CBS, CNN, ABC get an opportunity, as they did with J.D. Vance, they push back against the Trump and Vance. So Trump says, why should I do an interview with you? Why should I do a debate with you when the fact-checking is only one side? And again, this escapes from all talking points. Well, Trump's scared to do a debate. No, he's not scared. Why should he debate three people when, in fact, the debate should have been conducted like Dana Bash and Jake Tapper conducted the debate? They asked questions, and they didn't fact-check either candidate. And somehow it's fashionable now to fact-check Donald Trump, because that's the thing you have to do, because Donald Trump lies all the time. No, he doesn't. In the meantime, Kamala Harris is okay to say that she's met with 150 foreign leaders. They all say, well, who are they? You know, Tim Walz, well, I'm a knucklehead. You know what? That doesn't do. If, God forbid, that you're sitting in front of Vladimir Putin, you can make some retarded comment and you're going to be a knucklehead that starts World War III? Is that the type of knucklehead you want representing the United States of America? I want somebody that's measured. I want somebody who can actually debate. I want somebody with a backbone. And neither Walz and Harris have a backbone.
No. And Kamala and Harris even lied about working at McDonald's.
Yes.
And President Trump, did you see the video of him at McDonald's at the fry station?
Yes, I did. I did.
But where'd you didn't see, I don't know. I thought the mainstream media might have reported it for one maybe the 6 o'clock news, and that was about it.
It was a photo.
It was gone.
Yeah, they called it a photo op, and so some lady apparently called in to Brian Kilmeade, and she was, You know, she was upset that Donald Trump would do such a thing. And, you know, how could you say that? You have no proof that Kamala Harris didn't work for McDonald's. And Kilmeade said, which was really kind of cool. I got to give him a lot of credit. She goes, my son worked at McDonald's, and I took him to McDonald's. I took him to work frequently, almost every day. Okay. And Kilmeade says, okay, do you know which McDonald's he worked at? Well, yes. Do you know the address of where he worked? Yes. Do you know when he worked? Yes, I do. And she was indignant. Well, Kamala Harris can't give you any of those answers. So it's like, you know, it was brilliant. It was like, here it is, you know, well, I don't think you're being fair to Kamala Harris. Well, okay, you can tell us what McDonald's your son worked at. You can tell us when he worked at. You can tell us the address that he worked at, but she can't. And now you've got Donald Trump. He worked 15 minutes more than Kamala Harris ever worked at McDonald's. And look at the thousands of people.
She lies about this.
Yes, she lied. Tim Walz lied about his record, too. He's lying about his record.
Yeah, his stolen valor is huge, and that was covered. Yes, it became known, and they'll say, yes, he was asked about that. No, he wasn't. Wait, was he asked about the stolen valor?
He misspoke
about something else, and I can't recall what it is.
Yeah.
What the hell was it?
I can't remember either. You see,
he misspoke. He didn't get the dates right, and he's a knucklehead. So he lied.
He's a knucklehead.
But the stolen valor, that should have been a disqualification right there.
Correct. And somehow it's okay. You know, it's acceptable, you know, to Kamala Harris and to Barack Obama. It's acceptable.
Yep.
So does that tell you that they're being programmed and that they're basically chimpanzees for whoever's running things? I mean, they are absolute facades for the Washington D.C. syndicate, for the establishment. Whoever's running things, the same people who are running the election for Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, are running this one. Except they have even a worse candidate because, they want it out there speaking and the pressure's on because wherever Trump goes, he commands, you know, the number of people. Look, when he was at McDonald's, the thousands of people who lined the streets to see him. But he's at working at McDonald's. What was he, in North Carolina today? The rally was packed. And what happens? You got Barack Hussein Satoru Obama goes to Las Vegas. They have to bus people in. They found four white unmarked buses parked on the side of the street. Two of them pulled up, were letting people out. Unmarked buses. So they're busing people in, even to hear Obama, in Las Vegas. And so they know that they can't inspire people to come out. And that's the troubling thing. And I think it's why they enlisted the Labour Party in the UK to do damage control and to kind of spur things up quickly. Yeah.
It's enough to piss off the Pope.
It certainly is. I'll tell you. But you know what? I want to do some more investigating on this, the chief of staff that Daniel Greenfield wrote about and the ties to Iran and if she's still active inside of special ops as a chief of staff. And also we'll have to do a little bit more investigating into the ballot issue that occurred in Minnesota. I'm looking at the picture of the vehicle and it looks like there's at least room for four more boxes. So did anybody come by and pick up those boxes?
Lots of good questions, very few answers. So I look forward to hearing the results of your investigation.
Yeah, I'm troubled by the Pentagon leaks. This is really bad, and the fact that this Iranian devout fundamental Muslim is within the White House. I'm sorry, it's in the State Department and the Department of Defense.
Yeah. They're stabbing Israel in the back to keep them from bombing Iran.
that is funding all of this, all the Hezbollah rockets going into Israel. It's all got Iran's hands all over it. And then, gosh, the United States of America is backstabbing Israel to protect Iran.
Yeah, what about the attempted assassination?
Should be treason. Yeah.
Did the United States give away, you know, Bibi Netanyahu's residence address? Didn't they try to assassinate him?
I don't know. Everybody knows that that's there. Yeah. But what's really even more scary to me is the known Iranian assassination teams that are here in the United States trying to assassinate Trump, and may or may not have had a some responsibility for the two attempts on President Trump's life.
And their ties to BlackRock. And that I want to know, too. Well, I want to know what their ties to BlackRock are, too.
Yeah, that and why. And if the Secret Service knew about these Iranian hit teams that were going after Trump, they still, even with that knowledge, did not increase his protection package.
No. Which, once again,
so many questions, so few time, so little time.
All right. Well, speaking of time, gotta go. You have a good evening.
Great show.
Yeah. Good. Good talking as always, and we'll have Porky Pig take us out here. There we go.
That's all, folks.
Talk to you next week, Al. Going to this week, excuse me. That's Thank you, Music Box.